I'm Chris Farrell, and this is On Watch. Welcome to On Watch, everybody, the Judicial Watch podcast, where we go behind the headlines to tell you the stories that the mainstream media really doesn't want you to know about. We try to recover some lost history and explain the inexplicable. And today we've got all three of those elements for you. We're being joined once again by a very brave lady, a whistleblower who identified and has exposed an incredible human trafficking, sex trafficking crisis, a child abuse crisis, really, in our country. We're going to welcome Tara Rodas. Welcome, Tara.
Chris, thank you so much for having me on the show today. I really appreciate you and Judicial Watch for continuing to shine a light on what we know is government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded child trafficking.
Exactly. And folks that are loyal viewers and listeners to our podcast, you will recall, and I know you'll recall because we had huge numbers on our first interview, back in July 2023, so a little over a year ago, about 14 months ago, we had Tara on to discuss her experiences in an unaccompanied child reception and processing center. The story is incredible. I think we went on over an hour. My colleagues here will link that episode to this one so you can watch both if you're not familiar with it. But just as kind of a starting point, as a common reference point, Tara, tell our folks how you came to learn about and become aware of this outrageous, brutal, government-sponsored child trafficking operation.
Yes. Well, Chris, your viewers may remember that at the beginning of 2021, the Biden-Harris administration made a call to all federal employees. And they said, if you are a federal employee, we want you to leave your home agency and help with the crisis on the southern border. And specifically, it was the crisis of these unaccompanied children, children who were coming to our borders with no family, with no parent. And then the goal was to reunite these children with sponsors here in the United States. And I believed it was a family reunification program. I thought I was going to be coloring with kids and doing puzzles while they were waiting to be reunited with their parents here in the United States.
And it was nothing like that. I mean, that was your best intentions had absolutely nothing to do with what was really going on.
Correct. And what I did not know, and many of the other federal employees across the government who mobilized to help this mission, nobody knew that children had been trafficked through this program and exploited for more than a decade. It's absolutely stunning. So I didn't know when I said, hey, here I am, send me. I want to help these children. My husband is from El Salvador. I'm a Spanish speaker. And I thought, this is going to be the humanitarian mission of my lifetime. This is going to be fantastic.
Right.
Only to learn that children did not know who they were going to.
And
it was shocking.
And even when we talk about children, sometimes folks have in their minds, oh, this is a 14-year-old or, you know, technically a child, but a 16 or 17-year-old obviously is a much more sophisticated human being than, you know, a 10-year-old. But you're talking about not just young people like that, but you're talking about little ones. I mean,
yes,
literally babies that were sent across the border into the United States.
Yes, infants and toddlers. It's unthinkable. But Carlos Arellano, who was the whistleblower for MVM, he transported an infant that was 3 months old.
And
so people need to understand.
MVM is a security firm that was contracted to move, and not all of these kids, obviously, but they had a role, they had a contract in moving people for the U.S. government.
Yes, and it's millions and millions of dollars are involved in the transportation of these children. It's absolutely unbelievable. And they are as young as 3 months old. And Chris, you know, I would submit that some of the children that I saw with my very own eyes who were teens, and some were teen boys, but when they're from indigenous populations of Guatemala and they speak Mayan dialects and can't speak Spanish, they are absolutely completely vulnerable. Some of these children have never been to school. They can't read. They can't write. And then they're here in forced labor conditions. And the New York Times has revealed this. And it's stunning that no one to this date has gone to rescue the children.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting part of the story, is that obviously you have your firsthand personal experience in the processing center for these kids. But the larger story was even covered, and I think a three-part series by the New York Times discussing child labor in meat processing factories and other places.
Yes.
And you would think that that would register somewhere on the Biden-Harris left of, oh my goodness, our own propaganda mouthpiece, the New York Times, even they're saying that we've created a crisis. But somehow it got reported. I mean, to their credit, they did the reporting, which was horrific. But it didn't seem to cause any kind of ripple effect or reaction, nothing.
No, there's been no ripple effect at all. There's been no action to save these children. And I think that is one of the most stunning things. In 2021, when we began reporting trafficking cases, so this was June of 2021, we thought maybe, you know, maybe this involved like 50 kids. But by the time we were done processing more than 8,300 kids in less than 6 months through the Pomona Fairplex intake site, which is where I was, we were thinking, oh my goodness, this is affecting thousands of children, because we were seeing cases from all different sites. But then in 2023, with Hannah Dreyer's reporting at the New York Times, they revealed 85,000 children were gone, missing.
And when we last spoke, that was kind of the number that we used to quantify the crisis. But in fact, it's far worse than that. It's four times that number. The number now being used, I think authoritatively, I think well-established, although it's still a guess, really, the number now is 325,000 children who are gone. They're missing. No one knows what their situation is or where they are. It's just they've been trafficked and they're gone.
Yes, and that's what's stunning, is that no one has gone to rescue the children. And people need to understand this is a policy issue. We could begin the largest child rescue operation that's ever been attempted in the history of mankind if HHS would give the data. So, Chris, this is the thing that I think most people just don't realize. People are thinking, oh, my goodness, the children are gone. What can I do? And they think they can't do anything or that nothing can be done.
Right.
When, in fact, the federal government has the data of not only the children, but also the sponsor to whom the child went, as well as detailed information about that sponsor, like their last known address. But they won't go after them and they won't turn over the data. Not even with subpoena will HHS give this information to law enforcement. And as a result of this administration stonewalling this data, hiding it from law enforcement, 320,000 plus children, nobody knows where they are.
Right.
And that's unacceptable. And unacceptable.
This, to me, to my way of thinking, without advocating any particular outcome or any kind of endorsement, I believe that this is incredibly important public education information, right? So voters, in the next few days, we're going to have a national election and people are going to make decisions and fill out a ballot or pull a lever. You need to make an informed decision. And so our border czar, Kamala Harris, has presided over what's, in my opinion, the largest human trafficking, sex trafficking operation in the history of the world, and more particular, more specifically, this is a child trafficking question that you and I are talking about. You have firsthand knowledge and experience in this. You observed it. I know you're talking here today in your personal capacity, but fortunately, you come out of the world, professional world, of the Inspector General community. And so, I'll use a colloquial or slang term, you're a little smarter than the average bear. you know what you're looking at when you see this kind of fraud and scam and manipulation. You've got antenna to detect that. And so you see what's going on in this Pomona facility, and you say, hey, whoa, what are you guys doing? I mean, just relate a little bit, remind our viewers and listeners of your kind of like reflex reaction of what the heck is going on here? What are you doing?
Right. Well, it was very simple to see that when children were having panic attacks, having to be put on suicide watch, screaming for their parents, telling us stories about how they were lured here, it didn't take very long to realize we have a serious problem. These are children. I mean, this is precious cargo. We have to make sure that these children are going to safe homes. And that was the moment when I started to see immediately a crisis with the children, that something had to be wrong. And I think it's important for people to understand HHS is not a law enforcement agency. They simply do not have the knowledge, skills, ability, or tradecraft to go after trafficking organizations.
Right.
They don't. And sadly, they are responsible right now for releasing, because of their lack. Again, these are policy decisions that were made. Unfortunately, it was a major miscalculation on behalf of people making policy to roll back screening, roll back vetting for these supposed sponsors. And we know that some of these sponsors are members of transnational criminal organizations. HHS does not have the tradecraft to go after gangs and high-level criminal actors. So sadly, the failed open border policies have allowed criminal, high-level criminal actors, murderers, members of transnational criminal organizations to cross our borders. They are now also the sponsors, the caregivers of vulnerable children. And it's unthinkable, but they're not law enforcement, and so they just don't know.
And I think it's important to note, and you've made the point clear, but just I want to provide a little background. Some of our viewers and listeners may not realize, they think of Border Patrol, they think of ICE, they think of, you know, sort of the law enforcement entities in dealing with illegal immigration. But critical to this entire discussion is that when it comes to unaccompanied children, it's not a Border Patrol ICE issue. It falls under the Department of Health and Human Services, the Office of Refugee Resettlement, ORR. And that is the actual government agency responsible for the care and the maintenance and the placement of children. And so these are healthcare types or health administrators who are managing this process. So as you pointed out, they're not law enforcement. They don't know how to vet people or run checks, or they're just managing bodies, basically. And you've got a very sophisticated criminal enterprise.
Yes.
And they're going after a commodity, and the commodity are these young children. And they know how to exploit and manipulate and monetize and scoop up these kids for God knows what purpose.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I think your average viewer and most people just do not understand, that there are evil people in the world who view children as commodities.
Right.
And they are using them for labor trafficking schemes, for sex trafficking schemes, and worse, because drugs are sold one time use. For the person who is the selling drugs, yeah, they get money for it, but they sell it once. When you have a child, you get to use them on a daily basis, multiple times a day. And it's a continual source of revenue. And this is the thing that people just need to wrap their minds around, that there are people who think like this, and we must have policies in place to protect children. There is a war on children right now, and people need to wake up that we can solve this, but not with the current situation that's happening right now. This program needs to be dramatically revamped, and law enforcement needs to be put back into the equation. This is going to take a strong executive, but they can absolutely today begin rescuing children. Today, they could begin prosecuting criminal sponsors and traffickers. Today, they could begin to dismantle these criminal elements and this trafficking infrastructure. That could happen today if you had the right people in place. Absolutely.
And it was pretty obvious in some instances that the bad guys who were scooping up these kids, you know, they were using the same address for, you know, multiple sponsors, multiple kids they were picking up. I mean, they didn't even fake it, right? Some of these people were very sloppy and lazy. And so you had one apartment building or one apartment, and you had multiple sponsors and maybe a half dozen or a dozen kids all tied to one address. So it doesn't, it doesn't take some super analytical process to figure out the system was being gamed by these bad guys.
Yes. Anybody with any data analytics ability could see that this doesn't make sense when I have a sponsor who's sponsoring in two separate addresses, or I have an apartment that has three sponsors inside sponsoring multiple children. This is not rocket science.
Right.
And so the fact that this program has existed in its same form for all of this time is, once again, it's evidence that the people who are in charge clearly are not capable of identifying trafficking networks, and they can't keep the children out of the hands of traffickers. So a radical change needs to happen to save these children.
Was it routine for these kids to be photographed and fingerprinted?
So fingerprints, no. We were taking photographs of the children. And so that is another thing that's important for people to know. HHS has a photograph of the child. HHS has information. They just won't turn it over.
Yeah, so these are legitimate leads. I mean, if it happened 3 years ago, Lord knows where they are. But there's some basic legwork, some basic police work that could be done to track down addresses and people and to look for kids. You got a picture. And so now it's not a 12-year-old girl. Maybe now she's 14. But you still have a picture of her, and you have a general description and perhaps even an identity. So there's police work that could be done, even at the preliminary level, just to try to identify who could immediately be rescued.
Absolutely. And who are the criminals to go after? Because obviously, if you have 100 children delivered to one address, well, that right there would be an intel packet to go right to law enforcement to go look.
Right.
But they won't turn over the data, Chris. It's unbelievable. Senator Grassley did a criminal referral. Senator Grassley has been standing up for these unaccompanied children for years. He had Senate hearings back in July. He actually did criminal referrals to FBI and DHS. But because HHS would not release the data, not even with subpoenas would they comply in most instances, it only resulted in Homeland Security investigations able to find less than 4% of their targets. So less than 4% of the kids they went after and less than 4% of the traffickers, because HHS is not being compliant and won't give them the data. And it is unthinkable.
Are they using a privacy claim, or what is this ridiculous noncompliance? Normally they offer some phony baloney excuse, however laughable. They at least go through the motions of pretending to be legal, or, you know, protecting youth or privacy, or is that what they use as their excuse?
So, yeah, they're saying it's the privacy of the sponsor, and that's what they value over everything else. And it's absolutely, again, wrong thinking.
Yeah.
Sponsors never need to report back to ORR. So we're delivering a child to a person who never, ever needs to accept a call from the federal government again. This makes zero sense. So a child presents at the border. They have a phone number and a name of a person here in the United States. Well, how did they get that? Well, they were telling us they get it en route, but they hand that to our fine Border Patrol as what's called the U.S. point of contact.
Right.
So that U.S. point of contact, in 72 hours, Border Patrol has to give the child to HHS.
Right.
And our goal was in 10 to 14 days to deliver the child to the U.S. point of contact. That's what we were using as a sponsor. So I don't think people realize that in 2 weeks, children were being delivered to people here in the United States who never had to ever pick up a phone call again from the government. We turned custody over. That's it. Bye. Good luck with that. It's unbelievable. We would never treat American children this way, and I don't know why we're treating migrant children this way.
Yeah, I'm going to say something that's going to sound flippant, and I don't mean it to be, but I mean it to be very pointed. There are places in this country where you cannot do a dog adoption without greater background check and follow-up, and I mean this literally. I mean, I know this firsthand. You go to a pet dog adoption event. You have to fill forms out. You have to present ID. They check you. They interview you. You know, you get the dog, and then there's a home visit. I mean, literally, this goes on. We have a greater concern and awareness and a mechanism for double-checking on the health and welfare of a dog. And I'm a dog lover, so, I mean, I get it. I'm not complaining about that. But just to me, the disparity in treatment is so, it is so recklessly crazy on the part of HHS. I mean, there's no excuse. There's no explanation for this.
Yeah, there is no explanation except that it is a multi-billion dollar operation annually.
Let's stick with that. Let's talk about the money. This is a money operation. There, look, one way or the other, again, overly simplistic, but they're selling kids, okay? This is they're a commodity, and there's money changing hands, and they're the item, the contraband that's moved. Who is making money out of this? Who?
Well, lots of contractors and NGOs are making millions and millions of dollars a year. I think for your viewers who have not seen James O'Keefe's new movie, Line in the Sand,
right.
Line in the Sand, I highly recommend it because you will be able to follow the money. You are going to be able to see the border crisis. This is not a political film, but it is an absolute must-see film. And you're looking at the migrants through the camera lens of James O'Keefe and his band of citizen journalists. It's
right.
Absolutely unbelievable when they show the tickers of how much money is going to NGOs and contractors, to include contractors who have the DOJ has prosecuted for sexual abuse against children as young as five. And so these contractors and NGOs, the federal government is paying them your tax dollars. That's the thing. Tax dollars are being used to pay for the transport and the housing of these children. It's a multi-billion dollar annual business, and it's unthinkable. The children are the victims. Everyone's making profit off of the lives of these children.
And so, I mean, just we'll walk through the mechanics of this a little bit just to give people an idea of how it happens. But they cross the border, they get picked up. Well, who picks them up? Sometimes it's Border Patrol, but sometimes the Border Patrol just gathers people together and they send a bus or a minivan. Well, guess what? That bus or minivan is from some bus or transportation company. They're not doing that out of the goodness of their hearts. They've got a government contract to run buses between point A and B or between reception area A and processing center C. But it's a bus service, and they're running, I don't know, 10, 20 buses a day. This is not
more than that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying in one stretch of ground, right? These are huge transportation contracts, buses, minivans, et cetera, but also to include airfare later. And then there's these NGOs, and that's just sort of a generic expression for non-governmental organization. Mm-hmm. But frankly, and I'm sad or sorry to admit this, very often they're church-affiliated organizations, and they found a way. I mean, they're probably their heart started out being in the right place. They want to help people. God bless them. That's great. But it turned into a money-making operation for them, and there's both they're both secular and church-related NGOs. Some of them started out as do-gooders trying to help people. Some of them, frankly, are in it for a buck. But again, they're getting paid like almost by the head fees for processing and handling these people. And that's where the money is. That's where there's an enormous expenditure. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes, hundreds of millions monthly. That's the thing. What I think some people just can't fathom is that the contract where I was for the site that I was at, it was over $100 million a month. No one is thinking, wow, I'm just going to expose that my agency or my contractor is, you know, getting all this money and trafficking the kids.
Right, right. No, not at all. No worries. So this is a big, big business. Then there's, I mean, that's sort of the overt governmental contracting expense and costs. Folks on the left would scream, well, what do you want to do, just leave them out in the desert to die? I mean, that's kind of a false choice argument. No one would advocate that. But there's also on the back end of it, there is a clandestine underground criminal money-making operation. And that's really at the point where the government loses control, right? Once they turn these kids over to who knows who, then you're talking about sex trafficking, you're talking about child labor, you're talking about any number of insanely weird, criminal, perverse things that can be done to abuse and manipulate and exploit young people. And that entire dark side of the business, the clandestine criminal activity, God knows how much money's involved there. No one knows.
Yeah. Yeah, and Chris, we're separating the children from their families in home country.
Right.
That's the thing that people just don't understand. Originally, the program, I mean, commander's intent, that's what we talk about. What's the purpose, ultimately, of the program? I believed it was family reunification. And people who initially thought of this program said, well, this is family reunification. That's not what's happening now. Hannah Dreier at the New York Times revealed that as a result of her data, looking at the data, in some zip codes, less than 10% of the kids are going to their parents. This isn't family reunification. This is a large criminal operation. Children are being put into sweatshops. Children are being put into sex slavery. They've said so. Children, 3 years later, because Anthony Rubin at Muckraker actually tracked down children who 3 years later were saying, look, I'm still in debt bondage. I still owe money to my the person who paid for me to be smuggled here.
Right.
3 years later, these children owe money. It's unbelievable what's happening.
So you and I talked in July of 23. It was horrific. The details were heartbreaking of your experience and what you observed and had to go through. I'm not asking you to relive that now, but we talked in July of 23. So now we're sitting here in October of 24, end of October, and we know the numbers are even worse. It's like 320, 325. Nobody knows for sure. So who are the good guys? Who is actively fighting, trying to get something accomplished for accountability, trying to get the kids recovered, trying to break up these criminal rackets? Who are the good guys?
Well, Homeland Security Investigations, you know, because they got referrals from the Senate, they're a group of senators. There are some members in the House, right? There was a House hearing on this. The sad part is at this point, without the data, nothing can be done. So without knowing who to go look for in terms of saving the children or prosecuting criminals, nobody has the information to do that. So I think next in line is going to be a strong executive. They can simply elevate child trafficking.
Right.
On, you know, they could absolutely do that. And that would make a big difference. There are the Office of Inspector General. There is a data matching act, part of the IG Empowerment Act. They could look at the data from HHS, look at the data from DHS and DOJ, and they could determine who to go after.
Right.
So there are people who could do this. The challenge is why will nobody turn over the data?
Right. So this
how is it possible that migrant children are missing and no one is willing to turn over the data to go find them? I cannot understand that.
So in my view, and I mean this literally, however outrageous it may seem, so Kamala Harris has blood on her hands in this regard. She's the border czar. She's been responsible for border security. She tried to run away from it, but she can't. That's been her portfolio, and she even showed up at the border eventually a few months ago to talk about her great accomplishments. But this is her administration. This is her HHS department. This is her ORR. If she continues in office as president, she's elevated to president. I don't anticipate her suddenly having a change of heart or experiencing some big turnaround and suddenly trying to find these kids. Arguably, they may double down. Who knows? But should there be a different president, if Trump's in office, hopefully, you know, he has an awareness of this. Hopefully his HHS secretary kicks the door open and says, enough. We're changing this 180 degrees. But that's really what we're left with.
Yeah, so it's important that people do realize, and I'm going to quote from Mattie Rowley at the Free Press. So Barry Weiss at the Free Press, yep. They recently released an article, and the quote is, forced labor and prostitution among underage migrants has more than tripled under this administration. So we're talking about forced labor and prostitution of underage migrant children. It's tripled. Now that people understand how to use this fraud scheme
right.
to collect these migrant children for nefarious reasons, I would expect that to continue, but increase.
Right.
So if the administration, if they were to come out today and say, all right, we are going to demand that the data be turned over, they could do that. They could elevate the activity of child trafficking on the National Intelligence Priority Framework, the NIPF. They could do that today if they wanted to.
Right.
They could implement simple measures like DNA testing. So you say this is your child or your nephew, fine. Let's do a DNA test. Let's see if that's true. And most importantly, when the sponsor is saying, well, I don't have the kid anymore. We're talking criminal penalties need to be levied on people who no longer have the child. This is ridiculous that the U.S. government is spending billions of dollars, and they need to say we're not going to release one more child until the missing children are accounted for. These are simple measures. None of this is difficult. So if you see the administration begin to do that, you can know they're serious about child trafficking. If they don't, which we haven't seen them do in 4 years, I believe it's going to take a new executive in order to do those things.
You're exactly right. So this is the question we're faced with. If you're in favor of children being put in forced labor, being serially raped, being abused in God knows how many other weird, sick ways, if you think that's a good thing, then keep doing what you're doing, right? I mean, that's the answer. If you think that that's repugnant, if it's an absolute outrage, it's a crime, not just, I mean, it's a crime against everything we hold dear, and we have to stop it immediately, well, then you have to change what we're doing, right? If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. So we need to change, and we need to take a very aggressive position with action to recover these kids, to break up the criminal network that's running the operation, and to prosecute the bad guys. And we got these kids, I mean, I don't mean, this sounds like I'm being, again, flippant, but I'm not. They're damaged goods, right?
It's just horrible.
This is life-changing, extremely negative, traumatic experiences that they've been through.
Yes.
These kids just don't need to be recovered. They need care. They need treatment.
Yes.
They need counseling. They need a safe home. They have been put through hell on earth. And we have an affirmative obligation to take these kids, and some of them, as you've said, they are little ones, right?
Yes, infants and toddlers.
Even if they're 16, 17, I don't care. They've been put through hell. We have an obligation, and I don't care that they got here illegally. I'm not interested in that. They're kids. We have got to provide them care, counseling, treatment, a safe environment. They need medical checks. They need nutritious food. They need all this basic care. That's now on us. That's our obligation. If we had such a corrupt, outrageously inept government, well, then we get to pay the price for that. And that's our obligation back to them. We need to incorporate them into America the right way. And if we can do that, then maybe we can turn this around. But doing the same garbage we've been doing just ends up in destroyed lives.
Yes, and Chris, I think that's the thing that people just don't understand or maybe have never conceived in their mind what a sick person will do to a child.
Right.
And that's been, I think, one of the most horrific things that I've had to look into this darkness and be like, oh my goodness, there are people who do this. But there are doctors and nurses who I've spoken to personally, I mean, and they're, you know, through tears, they're like, Tara, there was a 7-year-old little girl and she had all these STDs.
Right.
I mean, people don't understand what evil people will do to children. And we've released them to a criminal element.
Right.
I would encourage people to go look at the documents that Senator Grassley revealed to the public. On July 11th, you can go on his, you know, on his press releases and they can see this government knowingly gave children to MS-13 affiliates. Okay, these are bad criminal actors. Why would we be giving them children? They are known members of transnational criminal organizations. This is beyond, it's beyond belief. And honestly, Chris, had I not seen this with my own eyes, I could not believe that the federal government has become the white glove delivery service. I mean, literally the middleman of a child trafficking operation.
Yeah, they're running it. I mean, it's not even that they're somehow involved. They are running it. They are executing the plan to move and abuse these kids. It's their game. It's their operation.
Yeah, and separating them from their families back home. You know, by luring them, that's what trafficking is. It's force, fraud, or coercion.
Right.
So the child and the parents, because the kids told us this, you know, people can have their talking points. We've looked, and I've looked into the eyes of frightened children. I know because of what the kids told me.
Right.
And told other people. And there are reports with the testimony of the kids. This can't be denied. The children were saying, you know, well, I was only making $2.50 a day back home in Guatemala, but the trafficker here in Texas told me that if I leave home, I'm going to be able to come here to the U.S. and make $6 an hour. The child and the parents believe that the kid is going to be Elon Musk rich.
Right.
Going from $2.50 a day to $6 an hour. And, you know, it's just unthinkable that we're luring vulnerable populations. And out of Guatemala, it's indigenous children who don't even speak Spanish.
Right.
So we really need to consider what's happening here. New policies must be put in place. People with law enforcement backgrounds need to be able to guard the children. And HHS must turn over the data so children can be found and criminals can be prosecuted. We cannot allow this to happen here in the United States to vulnerable children, small children. It's really unthinkable.
Yeah, we need to prosecute the animals running the networks that do this. In my opinion, we should prosecute the government officials who made these decisions and caused this to happen. They're a separate category unto themselves, but they need to be held to account as well. Certainly the criminal operators doing it need to be prosecuted. And then we need to recover these poor kids.
Yes, we do.
And we need to give them care and treatment and safe place, medical care, counseling, whatever it takes, because whether we like it or not, they're now part of us, right? They're going to grow up here. They're going to be part of our communities, part of our lives. That's not an illegal immigration question now. It's already settled, frankly. They're here. It's not going to change. But we have an obligation to do all we can to save them as well. They can't be victimized two and three times over. That's my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, we definitely need to save these children, absolutely. Right. And the system is broken. That's clear. The system can be fixed. And so this is such a dark subject, and it is so horrific to know that small children today are being abused as a result of failed policies and policymakers. Today, children are being abused. Today, children need help. And that help can come. The system is broken, but it can be fixed. And that's what I want people to know. There are easy fixes that will allow these children to be rescued and to get the care that they need and that they deserve. These are children who we've allowed into the custody of the United States government. The United States government has an obligation to care for them, and those that are gone to recover them and to ensure that they are well cared for and their medical needs are cared for. And we really, I don't think people can fully grasp the damage that can be done to a small child. We need to help them. They need rescue. So we need people who are going to stand up for these children.
I agree with you 100%. Tara, your work is incredibly important. I know that our viewers, listeners, supporters will want to know more about you and your work. How can folks follow you, track your work, understand, you know, what you're doing and where you're going? What's a good way for them to keep up with your efforts?
Okay, well, so I'd say there's three things. Number one, they can follow me on X. It's all in my personal capacity, not speaking on behalf of the government or my agency.
Sure.
So you can follow me on X, and I try to highlight child trafficking issues there. Then also, I would encourage people to see Line in the Sand. You know, Tucker Carlson in combination with James O'Keefe, it's lineinthesandmovie.com, lineinthesandmovie.com, or you can go to the Tucker Carlson Network, and I would strongly encourage you to see the film. It's not a political film, but it's a must-see film where you get to see with your own eyes the crisis of the children, and it's stunning. So I would strongly encourage that, and then I would ask your viewers to follow americasfuture.net. AmericasFuture.net. We are going around the country. Our goal is to help children in need by letting the communities get involved, by letting them know what to look for. What are signs, warnings, and indicators that your child might be a victim of grooming that would lead to trafficking? So
right.
We're out there on the front lines trying to educate people and save children. So AmericasFuture.net. And I would be happy to talk to anyone at any time about how they can get involved to stop the war that's happening right now on children.
Tara, you're a brave lady. You're a very smart lady. And we appreciate you taking time to talk to us and our viewers and listeners about an incredibly important, really an absolutely critical issue that affects the most vulnerable now in our country.
Well, Chris, I just really thank you and all of your viewers and everyone at Judicial Watch for the great work that you do and highlighting these critical issues of our day, and especially this issue, which is government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded child trafficking.
Tara, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm Chris Farrell on Watch.